Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah, sector competition, and he play with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Set everything you need and more. Yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before. We call him
Big Game James.
Yeah,
Big Game James. Big Game James.
Welcome to the BGSE Network, and I'm your boy, Big Game James, and this is Big Game Sports Buzz, where the pro athlete and the sports fanatic get together to bring you everything football, that's a lie, everything sports, and in between. Joining me tonight, very special guest, my man, and one third of the Sports Chop Shop, the musicologist, A. Reed, is in the building.
No doubt, no doubt, man. Always glad to be here, be a part of the Big Game Sports Buzz. How we doing on BGSE Network? Good to be here, Big Game.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. And you can catch Reed Monday nights on the Monday Man Cave, and also whenever we do the Sports Chop Shop, he, Jay Stoggs, and I. The Buff Nerd is on a little bit of a hiatus, a.k.a. vacationes. Right now, it must be nice to be able to get away when you need that getaway.
No,
the Buff Nerd is out doing this thing tonight. Reed and I are going to hold it down. If it's your first time joining us, please make sure you like, subscribe, hit that bell so you know every time that BGSE Network is bringing brand new stuff to you. Tonight, we're going to give you our four downs. That's the four hot, you know, the our hot topics of what's going on in the sports world. And just finishing up the Super Bowl, we got to talk about our Oh Hell Nah. That one moment in the week or in an event that we saw that made us just shake our head and wonder what the hell is going on. A little bit of Keep It on the Court and a very special little nugget Reed is going to drop on us and give you something to think. And it is really, really interesting. And I loved it when he texted to me. We just talked about it a few minutes ago. Definitely something we got to get out there. And then our top five. So without further ado, let's get into our four downs. Ooh, and I almost forgot, before we get started on this first down, my heart and prayers go out to the people of Kansas City going to celebrate their team at a parade. Shooting breaks out, 21 people shot, one person killed. Just a horrible situation. You know, here it is. You gather to celebrate a giant sports moment. You know, you go to put your team on a pedestal and enjoy the moment. You can't even really do that because senseless violence breaks out. Today, Reed, they said that on what I saw, that it was a dispute that happened between fans and people, and they started shooting at one another.
And then it doesn't help when alcohol gets involved, too, you know.
Man, look, it
don't help.
Guns
it don't
mix at all.
It don't at all, so, you know.
Oh, but before,
like you said, man, prayers to the families and everybody, man.
Yeah. Before we get started, I just had to say that, man, because when, you know, I heard that, I was like, I didn't want to believe it. You know, it did happen. I, you know, got more information turned into the news. I'm like, dude, here it is. All you really want to do is go watch the sport and, you know, go, you know, have a little bit of fun. And yeah, people going to the hospital and one person didn't make it back home to their family. It's just a sad situation. And we always, you know, send our hearts, thoughts, and condolences out to people like that. But we're going to keep this thing moving. And you know, a little bit more home. Like I said, this is your hour getaway when you get with us, man. Anything that's going on in life that might get you down a little bit, you get to tune in and listen to us act a fool and have some fun talking about sports. So first and foremost, Reed, you said this on your show. The Buff Nerd and I talked about this previously before the Super Bowl started, where we said, are the Kansas City Chiefs the new dynasty? But I kind of curved it just a little bit. Patrick Mahomes seems to never be under pressure. He seems to be pretty cool, calm, and collective. So for this first down, you can say, are the Chiefs a dynasty? Or point blank, just how good are the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes?
Just how good they are, my boy Jay Stocks, man. What's up, man? Appreciate you, Jay Stocks. You know, gonna hold it down for you all times, brother.
Above nerd.
Look, like I said on my show, Chiefs are, look, they're a dynasty. They're a dynasty at this point. When you win three out of five in 5 years, it's showing a pretty good dominance, okay? Everybody can't go to the Super Bowl. Everybody can't go to the playoffs, and let alone get to the Super Bowl, let alone get to the Super Bowl multiple times. So the fact that he's been able to get there as many times as he has, well, I think it's what, 4 times he's been to the Super Bowl now and won three?
Yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Or five. No, he's been 5 times, I believe, and lost. Lost two or something like that. But either way, he has three rings.
Three rings, man.
How can you not say it's not a dynasty, man? The boy, the incredible. Is there a team that can defeat them? And y'all know me, I'm a homer. Y'all know how I feel about Cincinnati. Y'all know how I feel about Joe Burrow and everything like that. But I'm not the only one that's speaking this stuff, man. I've heard Lewis Riddick say it. I've heard Skip Bayless say it. You know, Lewis Riddick did make a very good point. He said, man, even my boy Marcus Spears said the same thing. Look, they're saying that Kansas City brings fear into the hearts of all the other teams. You know what I'm saying? Kansas City and Mahomes brings fear to Buffalo, brings fear to Baltimore, brings fear to, you know, all the other teams right there, you know, the Chargers and everything. But they said there's something about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati when, you know, and I'm saying when they're both in a very healthy game. Joe Burrow just seems to have a sense of he's not scared. He's not backing down or anything like that. Like the team actually feels like they can literally beat them. If it's anybody that may be able to beat them, get them off of their throne. It might just be Cincinnati. It might just be Joe Burrow. I'm not saying it as my team. I'm just saying it is what we have seen in the past because Joe Burrow, alongside with Tom Brady, has been on the quarterback that's been able to knock him out of the playoffs. So
yeah. That's why I want Joe Burrow to come back healthy next season and hopefully do what they need to do their part, and we can see them match up with Kansas City. Because right now, the way it looks, I don't see Kansas City falling off because we said that once Tyreek Hill left, and we said earlier in this year they have no receivers, he has no one to throw the ball to, that they were going to struggle. And damn it, they figured it out. So are they a dynasty? Yes. Another question that I posed that came up to me, and we had this debate with my family group when I was kicking it in Florida this past weekend watching the Super Bowl and having a good time. He's been to more Super Bowls than one. Well, at this point in his career and at his age, he's further ahead than Joe Montana was and Tom Brady. Tom has 7.
Yeah.
Do you see Pat Mahomes eclipsing the 7 Super Bowl ring mark to put him leaps and bounds above Brady?
Not saying that it can't happen, because it can very well happen. But I think we're at an age right now where we've got a couple of elite quarterbacks that I think is going to be a kind of like a triangle rotational turn. Okay, it's going to be up for grabs on every single one of them. Can the defense hold up against the – I mean, that's the beauty of it. I mean, we've seen the defense hold up against the offense in the past. You know what I'm saying? But those two teams go back and forth whenever they do play and they're healthy. So, you know, it's – you know, that one to me is up in the air. It's like a coin flip. But I'm saying between the Joe Burrow, between the Patrick Mahomes, between the Josh Allen, between the Lamar Jackson, we can just be seeing a rotation out of all four of those quarterbacks, man. Who can actually take it in any given season?
But do you think Lamar Jackson passed his window of opportunity? It seemed like this the one year we said Lamar Jackson has to stay healthy. He stayed healthy. He got to the playoffs healthy. A defense that seemed to dominate everyone they played all season, and then to fall short the way they did on the offensive end and let Kansas City squeak by. See, this is the thing about the league.
And it's hard to say. It's hard to say, Big Game. I don't think that they eclipsed that. I just think what we saw necessarily was a very dumb game plan. A very dumb game plan that they came with. They should have stuck with what's been working the whole time. And when they got to that KC game, they just decided to fall another way. I guess analytics or whatever taught them to go a whole different route. But they should have stuck with really what was working best for them that whole game. So I'm not going to say that their window of opportunity is gone, but that was probably the closest chance that they would have had at this point in time. So for them to even get back to it, that's going to be the hard part. That's going to be the hard part.
Man, you can't see the Chiefs. I tip my hat to Andy Reid and that staff. And the way that game was going early, it was a very defensive game. I know a lot of people said it was boring in the first half, that it didn't get exciting to the second half. I loved the first half, man. I love seeing the defense play the way they did. The 49ers were able to get pressure on Pat Mahomes. They were able to rattle him a little bit. Cause turnovers when they needed it and get around the ball to make it go, uh-oh, they're in trouble. But watching that game, I was like, the 49ers, and we're going to get to that in third down, but the 49ers aren't really doing what they need to do. But as far as how good are the Kansas City Chiefs, for them to be able to play when they get depleted on the offensive side of the ball at the receiver position, having one running back that really was the man as far in Pacheco to get it done the way they did, they do a lot of things well. And I think this is a team that you have to be scared of for the next couple of seasons coming in. And I honestly thought this year, and the way they looked early on, I was like, uh-oh, Chiefs in trouble this year. And lo and behold.
We all said it.
I ate a bucket of crow because it just didn't pan out like that. It was like, damn, Pat Mahomes does it again. And, you know, when you ask the dynasty thing, so if they are the new dynasty, do you think they become the new villain as well? Do you think that they automatically become hated because of the success that they're having? Because it seems that people always hate a team that does good if it's not their team.
Oh, it's going to. I mean, you look at that Tom Brady, Patriots.
Yeah.
When they just kept winning and winning and winning, what happened? They became the villains, and it got to the point to where everybody wanted to see them lose. We knew they was going to the Super Bowl. We practically was already counting them going to the Super Bowl before the season even started. But everybody was going for that other team because we wanted to see them knock them off that mountain. So,
right.
Oh, no. Just at this point in time, man, KC is running it, man. As much as I hate to say it, man, they running it. So, shout out to them, man. Shout out to them. The thing about it is we have to, aside from being fans of your own team, you also have to be a fan of the sport. And then you also have to recognize greatness when you see greatness, man. You have to recognize it when you see it. And what we saw with what Patrick Mahomes has done within these past 5 years is quite outstanding. The man has more Super Bowls than Dan Marino, who's already Hall of Fame. Patrick Mahomes is already a Hall of Fame player.
The only thing that could keep Patrick Mahomes out of the Hall of Fame is if he does something to tarnish his reputation off the field. I think that would be the only thing that would keep him out. Football-wise, he's already done more in this short part of his career than some Hall of Fame quarterbacks did their entire career.
He can retire today, walk away from the game today.
Like I said, every time I picked against him.
Stop it with Dan Marino. What you mean? Stocks. He has more championships than Dan Marino.
You can pull it up so anybody else watching can see what that comment says, Reed. So, Dan Marino, Jay Stocks. Let's go ahead and keep it all the way 100. You watching this, you keep commenting, man. We appreciate you. Dan Marino was a damn good quarterback. I told y'all how I heard the ball make noises and sounds that I didn't know it could make because of how hard he threw the football. But if you go back, compare stats, and just looking at it, Dan Marino has never won the big game. Pat Mahomes has. So I think it's fair that Reed can say that he's done more than Dan Marino so far in his career. I don't think that's nothing, and that is no slight to those great NFL quarterbacks. We can't take it as a slight. Now, do they throw the ball more in this day and age? Yes, they do. But at the end of the day, if Patrick Mahomes stays on this course, by the time his career is over, the things they will say about him will be leaps and bounds above a Dan Marino or Jim Kelly.
He has more than Eli. He has more than
Peyton. That ain't saying a lot, though. Eli just
– we understand, but I'm just saying. He has more than Peyton.
Right. Yeah, now that's one. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Breathe.
Look at the names, bro. Look at the names, and he's already accomplished this in 5 years.
Five of them.
One of a kind, bro. One of a kind. Whoever passed up on Patrick Mahomes is probably they shitting bricks.
Yep.
They are.
Well, speaking of Super Bowls and everything else, we're going to get to the 49ers in a minute. But for the second down, the halftime entertainment. Now, I posed this question last week on BGSB. Do real fans even care about the Super Bowl halftime show? And I said, hell no. But Reed, this past show with Usher, and I'm going to ask you a minute, you know, your thoughts of it. But when I say this, shout out to the ProMaster Trucking Company Services, Mike G, and the Super Bowl party that he put on and hosted at his home in Jacksonville, Florida, was amazing. It was so many people at this gathering and so many people watching the Super Bowl. When Usher came on and performed a read, all the ladies in there watching the game, word for word, it was like being at a – I was like, I seen Usher in concert now. I ain't got to go nowhere because I seen the women sing their song, word for word, closing their eyes, shaking their head, waving their hands in the air. I was like, this is entertainment itself watching this. But two questions. One, as an NFL fan, do you care about – halftime entertainment as a fan, because I know as a musicologist you may have an opinion as well. You can let me know on both aspects if you need to. What's your thoughts on the halftime entertainment during a Super Bowl?
I don't really care. To be honest, I feel like that's just the thing. It's just a tradition that they do. For the Super Bowl, as long as I can remember. Yeah, Jermaine Dupri sucks. Wow, that was crazy. But as long as I can remember, man, watching the Super Bowl, it's always been a tradition to have some kind of musical guests during the halftime. So, I mean, if that's the case, this is just what I've always been indoctrinated to see.
Right.
I can't say that I've actually really cared, but, you know, you only care if it's somebody that you actually listen to, you know.
And get down with.
Then somebody that you get down with, you know.
Gotcha.
I'm not gonna lie, if it's an artist that comes out, like, I didn't even really watch that the Weeknd joint because I don't bump Weeknd like that.
And right. Weeknd was one of the worst, halftime shows I've ever seen.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. So
as a music guy,
as a music guy, though, you know, if it's somebody that I rock with, I want to make sure that they put on a good show.
Okay.
Damn sure want to make sure they put on a good show. And, you know, I got Usher. I got Usher on deck. I got 8701. I got Confessions.
Oh, okay. You know? Okay.
So I was expecting to hear the classics, and he delivered with the classics. He did. He delivered with the classics.
What So if you had to give it just a grade, Avery, you give it a grade. What grade do you give Usher's performance at the Super Bowl?
One being the worst, 10 being the best.
Or you can go A to F, however you want to do it, on a scale of 1 to 10 or alphabetical scale. Let's go 1 to 10.
1 to 10, I will give it I give it an 8.
That's a B. That's a B. That's not bad.
I give it a good 8.
Man, I'll say this. I talk some smack about halftime performances. And I kind of say it like you. As a football fan, I really don't care if it's someone I like that's going to keep me entertained and I'm going to watch it. If it's someone I don't really like and I am not entertained by it, I'll just be doing this until the game come back on. I'll go take my pee break. You know what I'm saying? Like Jay Stock said, I'll go to the restroom. I'll get another plate of food maybe. I'll sit back down. I will find something to pass my time where I'm not really preoccupied by a bad performance where I care too much. I'm going to say something I didn't think I would say. That damn Usher show, I liked it.
It was good, though. It was good.
I liked it. And like you said, the different things that you have on deck and you know from that artist, he was able to hit you with his new stuff, his old stuff, and tie it all together and bring people in. And then the different features he had come out. I still don't know. Then I'm going to tell you something that's funny. Lil Jon came, and this, I know some people day and age they say, Lil Jon came out on the stage, right? This girl said, "Oh, I can't believe they bought Lil Wayne." I was just like,
"Wow!"
I was like, "What the?" I said, "Ain't no damn Lil Wayne." He said, "Yeah, it is." And when she said, "Yeah, it is," I let it go. I was like, "All right, no, I can't talk to her because she said, "Yeah, it is." So anyway, hey man.
I mean, look, he did come out in a blouseful looking kind of shirt, you know, that he ripped apart, you know, but blouseful little shirt. But I did enjoy, you know, the Alicia Keys came out and they did My Boo. There was actually a video saying that she hit the wrong notes or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell, man.
But I don't know, man. I think the My Boo thing was good. To me, who really stole the show to me was when her came out and played that guitar.
I like that solo too.
When she played,
but now you got so many people hating talking about, you know, she not playing it for real. I was like,
the girl can play the guitar for real.
Entertainment. And that's the thing, as real musicians know, her can really play the guitar. She's not just messing around like what's going on. It's just funny, man. Like, it's just hilarious that people find time to hate on everything. Her, the way they did it, the way he mixed it in, old with new, you can kind of bring all ages of people in. Because people who know her and know what she did with Usher may not know the old stuff that he had with Alicia Keys or even before then. And so you bring and tie everything in together. So to do that, Usher shows how professional he is. He shows why his residency in Vegas is awesome. It's about to end. He's about to go on tour again. And because of the Super Bowl performance, they said that ticket sales are going to be sold out, and it's going to be a record. It's going to be a record sellout by the time it starts. It's just like, that's nuts, man. But it's a great thing. It's great for the game. The NFL has gotten it right in the standpoint that they're trying to do their best to merge people who may not watch the game, get them into watching the game. Because look, it's the highest rated Super Bowl on record right now. I forget the number, like 1.1 some billion. I mean, it's retarded, like ridiculous amount of people that watched it, enjoyed it. And a lot of that had to do with Taylor Swift being in the stands and Usher being the halftime performer. I mean,
does that kind of make you wonder that maybe that was a publicity thing between her and Travis?
I believe it big time that it was some bullshit. Big time.
You see what I mean?
Like, even the kisses didn't look real. It looked forced, dog. It looked forced. Mm-hmm. The hug and the kiss between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, that shit looked forced to me. It didn't look like no real, like, love. And I mean, I could be overthinking this shit, man. But yeah, I put nothing past some people, bro. His jersey sales went up.
Jersey sales went up. All the rookies that we've never, that never, people that never paid attention to football was watching football this year because they wanted to see Taylor Swift in the stand.
Exactly.
Which is crazy. But so maybe Roger Goodell was doing something right back there behind the scenes.
Huh? Yeah. They did what they needed to. They did what they needed to get it done. But nevertheless to say, Usher fans, great job. I hope y'all tune in to more football, not just the Usher Super Bowl special, but watch the NFL, man. It's fun, and it gives us something to talk about. And we can talk about that again later. Number three, third down. And maybe I should have made this second down. I messed up. The San Francisco 49ers seem to have every opportunity, Reed, to win this game and found a way to blow it. Who's to blame for the 49ers losing the Super Bowl? Like, within that organization, if you had to look at one person and blame somebody, who do you think should take the blame for the loss in that 49ers organization?
If you're going to come out and say that you didn't know the overtime rules, then you're putting blame on yourself. If you're going to come out and say publicly that you didn't know the overtime rules, then, sir, you're putting blame on yourself. So you're the one that lost that game. Okay, say what you want about the defense coordinator, who I do feel, even though they did fire him, if y'all don't know, they fired Steve Wilks today. Obviously the scapegoat.
Clearly
the scapegoat for that. But seriously, for you to be a head coach, how would you not know? How would you not know the rules of the overtime?
He played for that third possession like they were going to get it back one last time to go win, which clearly, and the thing is, these new overtime rules, especially for postseason, have been in place for 2 years now. So this is something.
How did you not know? If they've been in place for 2 years, how do they? What did my man Herb? What my man Herb say? You play to win the game.
Hello.
Yeah, you play to win the game, dude.
Man,
I don't believe it one bit.
No, the Steve Wilks thing pisses me off a lot, and I'm not going to talk on that a lot because that's about to make a certain statement that we have here. Kyle Shanahan is supposed to be an offensive genius. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan is supposed to always know what to do when he has the ball to put his team in the best situation. They were having so much success running that ball in the first half. Christian McCaffrey only had three running attempts in the third quarter.
Why?
What the hell happened? So to me, if anyone's to blame for losing this game, it's Kyle Shanahan. Point blank. Period. A lot of other things will be said. A lot of other fingers will be pointed at other people. We all know a head coach is never going to fire himself. But at the end of the day, Kyle Shanahan blew it. He blew it. He had a chance to go get the monkey off his back to win the Super Bowl, and he came up short. He came up short.
Wow. So if Andy Reid
and Jay Stoggs and Jay Stoggs, most coaches, when there's anything new and different, like there's, you know, y'all know when there's league meetings that owners go to, then there's other league meetings that, you know, coaches go to. Anything that is new, coaches will, when you start training camp or even off season, whenever they get that information in a team meeting, they will say, guys, this is what's different. You know, I played a long time ago. They had overhead projectors and shit. Tony used to bring the overhead out and put the transparency on there, and we see it on the board, right? They go over everything that's new. So it's never like, damn, we don't know what's going on. You do know what's going on. And if your coach doesn't tell you and pull that up, he's a jackass. Yeah, he's a jackass. What's up, Ron? What's up, Ron? Yes, Shanahan is a jackass.
It doesn't make sense. Make it make sense for me.
Hey man, I like when I heard it, I said even when the players were talking about, well, we didn't know, we thought this, I would have kept that shit to myself. I would have not come out on national TV in an interview and said I did not know what was going on with overtime rules. And that would really make me question your head coach, point blank, period.
Facts.
It just, when it comes down when it comes down to it, Kyle Shanahan dropped the ball, and he really messed it up for his team. Needless to say, we're gonna leave that right there, because we can get back on this in a few minutes if we need to. My fourth down, short, simple down, but something that makes me scratch my head. You know, being a big fan of college football as well, Chip Kelly is a guy that's, it was in the news a lot because he talked about realignment. He talked about what should be done with NIL money, that maybe college should be treated like NFL football, broken up into regions. They play certain regions and zones, then you make a championship series out of it, and then they get to what, you know, Super Bowl, which aka their national championship. Some really good points. Talked about being the leader of his team, loving to do good things. All of a sudden, Andy Reid steps down, and he's the head coach of a Power Four now, because there's only four power conferences now since the Pac-12 dissolved. He's a head coach in a Power Four conference. He steps down and then takes an offensive coordinator job at Ohio State. And it's so crazy the way he abruptly left that Deshaun Foster, who played running back at UCLA, had a good career in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. He just took the job with the Las Vegas Raiders to go be the running back coach under Antonio Pierce. And just to AP, man, Chip left my school high and dry. This is going to be a great opportunity for me. They want me to come be the head coach. He got AP's blessings. He got there, and he said he's going to change the culture and make it fun again. What in the hell? And because everything on the internet is kind of skewed, but I just had to say, I had to bring it to the show and ask, what do you think the reason is, or can you imagine stepping down from being number one in control to being someone's offensive coordinator? Makes no sense to me at all.
Only way it makes sense is you not wanting to have that kind of power anymore.
Or maybe think the responsibility became too much?
Maybe he doesn't want to be a head coach anymore. In that kind of retrospect, if you're just going to demote yourself down, you see what I'm saying?
You had plenty of time to leave. You had plenty of time to resign.
I understand. It can be a multitude of things.
Yeah,
you taking the money and running. You know, but
I can't imagine that they're going to pay you more as an offensive coordinator than what you were getting at a UCLA to be a head coach.
But then you got to look at, and then same thing, you're looking at UCLA, the head coach at UCLA. But then you can also be an assistant coach over here for Ohio State, which is always in the news.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, you can look at trying to get his name up to possibly go to a bigger and better school than UCLA, but he's starting over there at OSU. So, I mean, that could possibly be the case, but that's hard for me to know.
It's just one of the dumbest things to me.
Yeah, it is. I do have a question for you, man. How hard is it, knowing you've been in the league, how hard is it to teach time management, time of possession? Because I look at things like, how many times is teams giving guys like Mahomes that last 2 minutes, that last minute and a half, and they come back at the end of the game and win the game? When you just clearly do your time management, know how to run the ball, know how to run the clock, know when to call your timeouts. You know what I'm saying? You do the necessary things that you can to keep the ball out of his hand as much as possible when you can lock up the game. But for some reason, it's like teams deviate from that. And they just figure out, well, hell, we'll just give them the ball. And next thing you know, Mahomes is coming down here really buzzing.
You work it, Reed. You work it. You do work it, because I know Coach Dungy had a hammer period that we called it on Thursdays. And we would work on, you know, run the short passing game, but the stuff that can keep the chains moving inch by inch and the clock moving, and maybe even make an offense, a defense use the timeouts that they don't want to use, so that you can help run that clock down and eventually win the game, right? But at the same time, it's easier said than done. And even coaches are human. You get into that game and get into that panic mode, and you go against everything that you worked on during the week or that you've done all season to try to master and mimic. But before we get off into that, and I get thrown off, what Chip Kelly did, you know what it made me say, Reed?
Oh, hell no.
That's right. Oh, hell no. Our segment where something happened that it just makes you shake your head. And tonight, I got a couple of them. One is serious. And I hated to see it happen. Greenlaw's freak injury on the sideline before he took the field. Trying to get excited. Trying to get loose. Took a couple bounce steps to try to get set. Took one step. You saw that calf muscle roll up and roll down. It's like, damn, Achilles. Blue's Achilles trying to take the field. And he definitely was missed because there were some plays that on some run fits that backup linebacker was out of place that, you know, Greenlaw would have been in that position to make that play, and it cost him a couple of times. But that's just a freak-ass injury that made me say, hell no. I can't believe that happened at all. Another one. Travis Kelce losing his cool and bumping Andy Reid. Oh, hell no. Travis Kelce, calm your ass down. You're going to get the ball. You're going to get fed. We know y'all want to score. Andy wasn't ready for that. You almost gave his big ass a heart attack and knocked him down. And God knows, if Andy Reid would have gone down on the ground, he would have looked like a baby elephant that rolled over on his back and didn't get back up right away.
Yeah. But to see the funny part, to see Tyreek Hill and see A.J. Brown coming out with their tweets saying that if they would have did that, it would have been some consequences on the back end. Pretty much Travis Kelce can get away with it. You know, they wouldn't be able to. So. That was wild.
I definitely see that. Reed, you got anything for Oh Hell No tonight?
Oh Hell No, the Kansas City Chiefs won this one. They really won it, man.
Hey, again.
Salute, man.
Shanahan firing Steve Wilkes.
That's an Oh Hell No for sure.
Yeah, because the defense got two turnovers. Forced two turnovers that the offense did not capitalize and take advantage of, did not take the ball in the overtime, did not kick the ball and go on defense first, but took it first, didn't score the touchdown just to really give the game up. So Shanahan, out of all of these, you really the biggest oh hell nah of the night. Back. Because you Back. Really choked, you, laid you a big ass egg, and dropped the ball.
You dropped the ball. Big time. You did. To blame it on another person, bro, you wrong for that.
Oh, man. Tonight we're going to do a segment we hadn't done in a while because it's that time of year where it's going to start ramping up on my TV because there's no more NFL. That's keep it on the court. Man, hey, Reed, one I didn't write on here, but I definitely wanted to talk to you about because I know you are a Dallas Mavs fan. If anybody up there watching, they see it in your subline underneath the name, Let's Go Mavs, hashtag MFFL.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about the Mavericks trade for PJ Washington and getting rid of Grant Wood and whoever the other one? But the PJ Washington trade. Yeah, how do you feel about that, man?
Good trade. Very good trade. Damn good trade. We've seen what Mavs have done with 6-0 since the trade has happened. So, very good job for these guys. I like what PJ is bringing. I like what the other guys bringing, man. That center, he's balling his ass off. Gafford doing a damn good job. Yes, man. Yeah, I'm very excited for what this team can do. I know they're, in the seventh seed right now. But we're looking at a team that's about to get healthy. They're about to get healthy during the All-Star break. These guys are getting a rest, and then they can come back. And I believe they're going to come back stronger. I think they're going to come back better than ever. The whole thing with Grant Williams, I was hearing rumblings that, you know, he people saying that he was talking too much.
Yeah, that's too much.
But then they also said that he didn't show up. You know, he didn't show up in shape.
Man, you know, I heard that was the biggest part. I heard that he was overweight, out of shape, ready to go. And you could tell he was kind of one of those mouthy players in Boston. And yeah, I always said that I thought that he was trying to be like a fake Draymond. Mm-hmm. Like annoyance, talk crazy, bother. Not the physical dumb part like Draymond, but it also always seemed like Grant Williams was just trying to do something to annoy you. Like he was a great player. And he's trying to settle like he's so happy. Yeah, so happy to be in Charlotte. But at the same time, you're going to be happy if you're somewhere where you know other people didn't want you.
Okay. Even on that note, man, bump Grant Williams. Okay. I don't want to say nothing bad for him as a person and whatnot, but for you to say something that to the extent of, you know, you're happy to play, you know, for the team, what they got on the front and not what's on the back, almost like you're trying to throw a shot at like Luka or something like that. Negro, you was doing the same thing in Boston, bro.
Right.
He was doing the same thing in Boston with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, bro. You were still playing with superstars with the names on the back of their jerseys, man. So bump all of that bull crap because, you know, the offense and whatnot centered around them when you was in Boston, okay? So what did you think was going to be different when you come over to another team that has a star? Bump that. And then Dinwiddie, okay? I like Dinwiddie, but I bump you too, bro, for saying that crap about the Mavs. Like, we like the mom. We just gonna say, oh, baby, it's okay, and the Lakers is gone. You know, be like the daddy and be like, no, you got to go out there and win. And what happened? Yo ass pulled up some goose egg shots, half-court bullshit. Look. You knew where your ass was supposed to go, but you have fun over there in L.A. Even more pressure than you're going to have down here in Dallas, brother, so.
I was surprised. I thought Dinwiddie would have tried to sign back with the Mavericks because he had a good run when he was here in Dallas and gave that up. Something that I saw and heard last night while watching the game that I don't even know if it's big news, but it did surprise me because it was on the hush for a long time. You know, rumors came out that the Golden State Warriors made a serious hard push to try to acquire LeBron James before the trade deadline. Have you heard these rumblings?
I heard those rumblings. And then I started to think, who the hell would they would have given up to get LeBron if he was?
I think they would have had to give up too much that it wouldn't have made it worth it. But just the thought, and the only reason that I even wanted to talk about this, could you imagine Steph Curry and LeBron James on the same team? Yes. Even though LeBron James, they got to take every third game off.
Yes,
that would have been a hell of a combination, dog.
I can imagine it being on a USA team. Like
I mean, an everyday go to work, punch a clock kind of team.
But you talking about like team?
Like Golden State team?
Nah.
Nah.
Nah. And even if they did, man, that'd be damn near still at this point with LeBron playing with how many seasons he's almost played? Like 20? Like,
yeah,
still with LeBron playing right now, it's still a very high disadvantage. In that anyway, bro, like
it's almost like how
KD is almost like how everybody felt with KD joining the Warriors.
But Draymond might have been part of that package if they bought LeBron in. You can't keep all of them pieces, like you said, if you would have bought LeBron in.
Oh bro, you giving up Draymond, you giving up Clay, you giving up Wiggins, you giving up time because you know what I'm saying? Because the Lakers would still want to get good pieces out of the
contract
if they giving up Bron. You know what I'm saying? Lakers just ain't going to trade them for no boo-boo. So you giving up. Steph might be untouchable, but nah. Draymond going to have to go. Clay going to have to go. Wig is going to have to go. Somebody is going to – it's going to be like four people for one person. Pretty much. And probably another draft pick or something like that. Yeah,
it would have been crazy. But I thought that was a little wild. I couldn't believe it. You know, all these rumors came out later, what they did. They were really serious in pursuing it and they wanted to get it done. I couldn't believe it It happened. The NBA, they're looking to expand. And a lot of people know that they've been talking about Las Vegas, and Vegas holds summer leagues every year. Vegas just hosted the Super Bowl. But some of these other places that came up in this article, I said I wanted to ask you, where could you see a team popping up? And I know what my heart is, what I want, but they said Vancouver, Montreal, like two more Canada teams, maybe, Nashville, Seattle, and Las Vegas. Very interesting places, man. What do you think? Because they have to wait till the TV contract expires, they said, before they do the expansion for the TV rights and the money or whatever else. But an expansion is coming within, like, I think it's 2 years before that TV deal expires.
They call me old fashioned.
Uh-huh.
The number one place that has to have a team back in Seattle.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man.
There's no other way. Seattle has to have a squad again. You have to bring back the Supersonics. You got to bring that back. Then I wouldn't mind saying, look, Vancouver was a dope team to me.
Why'd they leave and go to Memphis? Why'd they leave Vancouver?
Was it
money or ownership change? Would Vancouver support basketball the way Toronto does?
Did they support it
the same way?
They were supporting Vancouver. I'm pretty sure they were supporting Vancouver. And if Toronto can win the championship, then Vancouver going to be over there feeling like, God damn it, we can win the championship.
I can get one too.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, have two teams up in Canada. That's cool, man. Yeah.
But Vancouver, I think so too.
And then after that, if you want to put Vegas in there, okay, fine. Nashville seems like a Charlotte.
Oh. That is a bad market. Can't be no worse than Oklahoma City.
But that's what it feels like Oklahoma City. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You know? You'll have some people show up, but
I don't think Nashville needs a team. I don't think no one's knocking down doors to go see basketball in Nashville. It's just
no.
Memphis works. I think that's good enough.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Seattle, all day, every day, to me, second will be Vegas, just because I'm a Nevada kind of guy. I like going out to Vegas, I like hanging out. I could see that. I mean, it's the entertainment mecca. When it comes to gambling and sports book and everything else, basketball just seems to fit. So I think that would do well. And I hope to see Seattle celebrate and happy again once this expansion does happen. It's going to be interesting. Commissioner has time. They're talking about it a lot. So something big is about to happen here in the next couple of years. And I think it will shock some people that if Seattle did not get a professional franchise.
They deserve it, man.
Right.
That Supersonic squad back in the day was classic.
Man, big time. Well, man, hey, we coming up on the end. So before we get to our top five, I want you to kick off and talk to the people about what you asked me in the show as far as like the NFL. And I want you to tell everybody what you said, explain it, and we're going to talk about it for a minute.
All right, so bet. So I had brought this up on my show on Monday, Man Cave. Okay. So I have this idea that I think that the NFL should possibly consider. So, shit, you know, roll with me here. I know you got the Super Bowl. I know you got the Pro Bowl and all that other stuff. But this game should happen right before the Pro Bowl. Well, not even, it should happen right before the Super Bowl, okay? And this game here should be called like the Draft Bowl or something like that. Draft Bowl or whatnot. And what you do with this game, you would take the top, well, you'll take the two lowest teams, the teams that had the two lowest records within the schedule, okay? And you would put those two teams together to play. So let's just say randomly, let's just say we're talking like Carolina and who else sucked this year? Was it Arizona or something like that? Oh, I can't think of it. But Carolina and some other bum team. You put both of them in this game, okay? The winner of the game gets the number one draft pick. The loser of the game will get the second round draft pick.
Wow.
And then from there, you base it off the records, who else gets, you know, third, fourth, fifth, and whatnot. But the two teams that are playing for this draft pick, for this top draft pick,
it would have been Chicago and Carolina. Well, Chicago got it because of a trade. Never mind. It would have been Carolina. You're right. And then,
but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that would be dope because those two teams have something to play for. They get the number one overall pick.
Dude. Reed.
Either way, both teams are getting a top prospect. You're getting a top prospect because you're either getting the first or you're getting the second pick, but you're getting the top prospect to help your squad for the next year. I think that would be dope. I think it'd be dope to watch. You watch it right before the Super Bowl happens. Boom. You know what I'm saying? Instead of watching the Pro Bowl game.
So what do you call it? The toilet bowl, the Buster Bowl?
Call it like the draft bowl.
The Get Back Better Bowl. Just draft bowl.
Draft bowl.
I like it. That's a great idea, man. We need to run that up to New York and pitch that to him, man.
I think that would be dope.
Give you one extra week of football.
One extra week of football. Meaningful game. Everybody, and you mean to tell me people are not going to watch to see who's going to get the number one pick? You know?
They're going to watch.
Of course they're going to watch.
And if no one but those two fan bases watch, they're going to watch.
Facts.
Hey, man, y'all let us know. If you're catching the show out late, I'll try to bookmark this part where you can, you know, see it, go right directly to it. But the draft bowl, what do you think about that idea? Two worst teams in the league play. Team that wins that game gets the number one pick. Team that loses gets the second pick. And AO's fans, something to cheer about where the team let them down and didn't play good all season. But now that one game, they got something to play for and they lock it up. I think it's a damn good idea. Don't care what you think. Actually, I do. Let us know behind. But guess what? It's time for the top five.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go.
That's right. Some people have a top 100. Some people have a top 25. Some punk out and do a top 10. But here on Big Game Sports Buzz, we have a top 5. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. The Buff Nerd normally comes up with these. He puts thought into it. He takes pride in it. He loves it. He comes up with some really good ones. And I kind of just, it just popped up in my head. I'm like, damn, football's over. What am I going to watch now? So tonight's top five things you can watch or do now that NFL football is over. Top five things. And since Reed is guest hosting on here tonight, I'm gonna let Reed go first. Normally I go first and Buff Nerd, but Buff Nerd, you know, he'd always talk about me. I'm gonna be polite. I'm gonna let Reed do his list first. I'm gonna piggyback off of.
Cool. My first thing is I'm transitioning from football to basketball. Because I'm watching basketball games a little bit more. You know, start paying attention to the season now. Football is done. Let's see how these Mavs do. Let's go Mavs. Y'all are down. Number two, video games.
Great one, Reed.
Video games. Getting more into that, you know, and now that I've kind of gotten into the streaming aspect of it, which I'm having a lot of fun doing, man, you guys check that out on the Twitch, MCHP Radio on the Twitch. And it'll be fun, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I dig that. Number three, catch up on some movies that I've always wanted to watch. You know, movies, of course, you know, you had your list of stuff on Netflix and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So definitely movies, and all of like 3, 4, and 5 all tied together. It's movies. Number 4 would be like documentaries that I've been wanting to watch. You know what I'm saying? So I catch up on those. And then number 5 would be like, you know, TV shows and stuff that I've, you know, been going back and forth with, you know. Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much the thing, just to occupy your time until football comes. I know that this new, it's not that I don't want to watch this the new USFL and stuff like that. It's just I don't really know anybody like in it to, you know, it's just I'm just watching random guys play football. Not to say that it's not good, because I've seen it. It's some good football. But it's kind of hard to like follow when you just don't know nobody. You know,
yeah. So, Reed, I love your list, and you know, I'm gonna do it, Jason. I'm not gonna go in any particular order tonight because you know it changes. But I did like you. I said the same thing. Football's over now. I get a chance to transition into basketball, so I'll quit wearing Buccaneers stuff on here and start wearing Atlanta Hawks stuff on here. You know what I'm saying? I'm able to start getting my basketball love in. So NBA, second one for me, college hoops. Getting ready for March Madness. It'll give me a chance to try to go, refine, watch, figure these teams out. So when it's time for me to make my bracket, I know what's going on because I put some work into what's going on. Next one for me, same thing, movies. Everyone tells you there's such something you should see on Netflix. And during football season, I don't have time to watch Netflix. So I'll get that little Netflix list and go back through those text messages from everybody. Be like, hey, remember I told you to watch this? And I'll start picking those out kind of one by one and seeing like, yeah, that was good. Or, hey, your ass can never recommend another movie to me again because your movie sucks. That happens a lot, right? And then Netflix kind of goes the same thing. I'll say, find a series to watch. Like right now, Raising Kanan is my thing. I got to watch the final episode of season 3, but really that's I'm loving Raising Kanan right now. So I always try to find a series to watch that can help me occupy where those game slots fall. I can put that series on, watch a couple of them in a day, and, you know, binge on that a little bit. A different page from yours than reading a book. I mean, than playing video games. I said read a book. I always say I want to learn something new. I always say I'm going to read something. And when football season's over, I generally start to try to crack a book. I don't always finish it at all. But then, unlike you, Reed, the last one I put was find a spring football league to watch. And the USFL and the XFL are merged to now be the UFL, the United Football League. Yeah. The Cowboys kicker came from the USFL last year. Tobar, whatever their number 8, the return guy, he came from the XFL. There's other guys that have made it from the USFL and XFL to the NFL, made teams, making good stories. So I think it's good to try to watch that league, see who's doing good, and if they get a chance to have a little bit of a break in the NFL, it's a feel-good story. But nevertheless, to me, there's nothing like football. I love it to death. Yes, we will talk about basketball and other sports on this show as they happen and what goes on. But at the end of the day, it is nothing like watching some good old, you know, good old NFL football. And we find other things to help time go by, make the day go by, and, you know, make do with it. But nevertheless,
it just sucks because it comes. And then we're right in the middle of it. We having so much fun. Then next thing you know, you look up and it's February. And here comes the Super Bowl. You just like,
yeah,
it's over already now, bro.
Reed, did you see the direct? Did you see the Sunday Tickets Super Bowl commercial? It was so hard to say goodbye.
Yes.
And it's funny that when I saw it, I was like, oh damn, man, they tripping. Then I thought about it. I was like, yo, dog, the season's over, dog. Like,
yo,
they killed it with that commercial.
Yeah,
they really.
I had to think
about
that too. I was asking my girl, I was like, why are they playing? I was like,
what the hell are they doing? It's so hard to say. I'm like, oh shit, it's over, boo. Yeah. And the Sunday Ticket subscription is over. So
those commercials wasn't even that great.
Hey man, the commercials over the last couple of years have fallen off. It's gone from where you used to love every commercial, maybe being like 2 good ones at best. So
come on,
but man, without further ado. It's been another great show. I'd like to thank my man, A. Reed, the musicologist. Y'all can follow him on X at A. Reed TV. Check out his music. Check out his videos. Check out the Monday Man Cave here on BGSE Network. And also make sure that you go by and follow MCXP Radio, subscribe and follow that as well, so you know what's going on at all times. If it's your first time, thank you for coming by and checking us out. Remember to like, subscribe, smash that bell to know every time that we're dropping bad, brand new content. For the Buff Nerd, the musicologist A. Reed, I'm your man, Big Game James. And until next week, peace.
Peace.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game.